Welcome to Business Communications. My name is Stu Schlackman, and I will be your instructor for this course, and I'm looking forward to it. Just a little bit about my background is I'm actually from New York City, graduated college in 1974 in the Ice Age, and had my first job out of college as an engineer, mechanical engineer. That's my background. Went on to work up in Massachusetts for Digital Equipment Corporation in the computer industry, which is now Hewlett-Packard. And I sold for Digital. I was in sales management, operations, and probably the best time I had there was my 2 years where I was in sales training, teaching all sorts of skills courses for salespeople and information technology consultants. From there, I went on and worked for several other companies like EDS, Capgemini, a lot in the IT arena, and in the sales arena. So I look forward to spending the next 7 weeks with you. If we take a look at the curriculum of what we're looking at, the first week, which we're going to talk about today, is barriers to communication, communication in work teams, resolving conflict, and how do we handle constructive feedback. And a lot of this is to do with working in corporate America and organizations, multiple organizations within companies. Week two, we're going to talk about style and communications, tone and readability, talk a little bit about listening skills and how important that is, questioning techniques, which is something that I used to teach a lot around, especially in sales, as we're trying to get information from clients, customers, on what their needs are. And also, as we go through the course, we're going to take a biblical perspective and see what it says in the Bible. And, of course, one of the best teachers of asking questions was, of course, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So then from there, on week three, we're going to talk about routine messages. How do we reply to messages? We're going to talk about how do you persuade in handling messages and also persuasive requests, and also writing a sales letter. All along the way, what we're going to be doing is basically a lot of exercises, real-life case studies, and what I like to do is not just teach a course, but how do we apply this to real life, to corporate America, and if you're even starting your own business, how do you use these skills in everyday business? The fourth week is going to be on presentation skills, and we're going to spend probably the last 3 weeks on a lot of the techniques, a lot of the skills that are needed, both the verbal skills on how we talk and the nonverbal skills around gestures. We're going to talk about the type of presentation. There are actually three types of presentations we'll be talking about. One is to inform, which is giving information. The other one is to persuade, and we actually will talk about that in week three, and also to inspire, which is more like giving a sermon. And we'll talk more about presentation format, constructing charts, how do you prepare a PowerPoint, and some of the tips on giving effective delivery. Then in week five, we're going to have a business presentation, planning it and organizing it. We'll talk more about putting together the visual aids, practicing and delivering a presentation, and then that week everybody will have a chance to give their presentation. And then finally, on week six, we're going to have employment communications. We're going to have a team presentation. So what we'll do is break out into teams, and we will better understand how we work together in giving a team presentation, how much goes into the practice, the timing, the handoff, things along that line. And the preparation is extremely important. So with that, let's go ahead and get started with today's lesson. And today, basically, we're going to talk about oral and written communication. First we have is written communication, and that is basically in today's business world, a lot of the communication is done via email. And we know that providing email, there are several things that we need to take into account, and that is the tone of the message, who the message is going to, and will they be reading the message the same way you're trying to convey the message. There's also literature, reports, letters. that also go out in written form. But mostly what we see today is email. Email could be distributed via a laptop. It could be distributed via a regular desktop computer. And of course, today we have iPhones and Blackberries, which seem to be very popular. I myself have a Blackberry that I keep with me, and it's very convenient to be able to get email continually all during the day. And the best thing about it is the responsiveness. Sometimes people don't answer a memo for maybe a day or two, and that kind of gives us a perception of the people we're dealing with also. And that could be a barrier. Also, we have oral communications, and that's basically where we're going to be spending a lot of time, and that is your oral presentations, whether it's one-on-one or whether it's in a group. It's our expression. It's the nonverbals. And let me say this, that back a couple of years ago, Michael Cox, who is with the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, did some research and found out what the top six skills needed are today in the United States. Number six is muscle power, and that's basically construction, heavy lifting. Number five is dexterity. That's using your hands. That's typing, that's sewing, that's putting together an integrated circuit. That's the fifth most needed skill. Number four is formulaic intelligence, and that's basically applying knowledge, learning, what we do here at a university, and applying it to come up with results and answers, and that's what we learn in schools. Number three, though, is analytic capability, and that's more in your area of IT, analysis, data, and trying to make sense of the data. But the second most needed skill today in the United States is creativity. And creativity is where we now see places like Starbucks, where everybody seems to flock to, whether it's for a business meeting, or to read a book, or to open up your laptop and do some work. But here it is, the number one most needed skill in the United States today is people skills and emotional intelligence. And that is something that we don't learn at a university. That is something that we learn in real life. That is the interaction with people. That's reading people. It's understanding differences in personality and how we adjust the way we are to understand the other person. Basically, it's starting to look at people not through our eyes, which is natural and easy for us to do, but it's looking at the eyes of other people. So when we give a presentation, we need to understand our audience, who they are, what they're expecting, what their attitude of us is, what their perception is, what their behavior might be. So that's what we'll be looking at. Also, as far as communication, whether oral or written, in an organization, there's three movements. It's either downward, where it's coming from upper management down to the teams. It could be an announcement, it could be a reorganization, it could be many things. Second thing is upward communication. That's where someone in a team might be conveying a message to their manager, and that's moving upward. Then there's also horizontal. And horizontal, where communication is going side by side to individual team members throughout the team. And then there's cross-channel, and that is communicating across different units or departments. Let's say the engineering department needs to talk to payroll, or payroll needs to talk to shipping or to sales. So that's cross-channel communication. And then, finally, there is your informal communication network. And that's what we call, and you've heard this before, the grapevine. 80% of business-related communication is done through the grapevine. And 75 to 95% of what we hear in the grapevine is accurate. Now, unfortunately, what we hear in the grapevine could be either positive or negative. Could be positive that we hear through the grapevine that someone's going to be getting a promotion. And a negative aspect could be that we heard that we're going to have a layoff. So in the companies that I've been at, there was a lot of communication within the grapevine. It's normal, it's vital, and we must, first thing and most important within an organization, if a false rumor comes out, we need to make sure that everybody understands that this is not accurate. So let's talk a little bit about barriers to communication. Barriers to communication are things like vocabulary. Sometimes people don't use the proper vocabulary in communicating with other people, whether it's within a team or another work group within an organization. It's how we interpret what people are saying, and sometimes that could cause miscommunication. Sometimes there's a language barrier, whether it's people speaking different languages, or actually it could be from being different parts of the country. And of course, slang is something that really should not be used within a company, even though in some corporate cultures, there are some slang words that are used that seem to be the norm there. Also, what happens a lot within companies develop their own acronyms. We actually had a book at Digital Equipment Corporation that was a book on acronyms so that you could understand when someone's given a presentation, when they say, I am from the COEM product line, you would understand what that meant. Or if we're talking on computers, well, we used to sell VAX VMX, VMS computers and PDP-11s. Very easy for someone within the organization to understand, but if you're giving a presentation to folks outside your company, you really should not use acronyms. A couple of other things is nonverbals. Actually, nonverbals is your movement, your gestures, your expressions. We'll get more into that in the later weeks. And actually, it's more accurate than verbal. A lot of times, your nonverbal gestures will give away and tell the customer or the client what you're really feeling. And here it is. Perception is reality. How they view you to them is reality, even though it might not be that way. Another thing we need to consider is ethics. Within a company, it could be fraud or misrepresenting the truth. It could be invading privacy or slander. And these are all pretty bad offenses. Next, we'd like to talk about communication in teams. Now, when it comes to communication, there's that area of conflict. Conflict actually is good. Actively discussing issues, getting all the sides, everybody's opinions, is the essence of group interaction. This is extremely important, because if there is no conflict, we don't get to express our best ideas, resolve them, and get together as a team the most productivity and the best solutions. So conflict is very important. And I can remember back when I was running a sales team here in Dallas back in the early 1990s, we had 13 salespeople on our team. And I would always open up the discussion and say, what are your challenges? What's bothering you? And if people felt comfortable in getting out in the open and express their views, we found that our team would come to a new level of performance. So conflict is good. It shouldn't be avoided. It needs to be discussed, because what it does in the long term is build trust. And trust is extremely important. And as we could look in the New Testament, there was a lot of conflict in Jesus' time. He would ask the Pharisees tough questions and would cause them a lot of conflict. But that's what we need to do to get everything in the open, build trust, and get the truth out. And that's why getting everybody's feedback is extremely important. Conformity. Conformity is agreement. It's based on ideas, rules, and principles. And a lot of what I'm talking about right here is in the beginning of your textbook. Now, conformity is when a group gets along or they conform together as a group based on these ideas, rules, and principles. Now, there's something called groupthink, and this is where there's too much unity, too much agreement, and this way we don't get the best ideas from the individuals on the group. And then there's something called consensus. Consensus is when the team makes a decision where they all agree. Now, everybody could support that decision, but it doesn't mean that everybody totally agrees with it. But consensus is where the team says, by far, this is the best direction that we should go in. Now, the last part, what I'd like to talk about in this introduction and week one, is constructive feedback, and that's vital. I used to teach a course called Coaching and Counseling. When I would go on a sales call with one of my sales representatives, we used to, at the end of the call, I would say a few questions. What do you think went well? And that's how we always want to start out with constructive feedback, is the positive aspects. And they would tell me what went well. Then I would ask, what do you think you could work on for next time? And that is areas of improvement. But it was also said in a positive manner so that the person could open up. And after we ask that question is, what would you like to do next time to improve? So that's the way we like to handle constructive feedback. We want to give specific examples. We want to be descriptive. Avoid using labels like, well, you're unreliable. And that's really something extremely negative to tag somebody with. Or don't exaggerate. Don't generalize, like saying, well, others don't like this when you do that. We want to use the word I. We always want to talk in the first person, face to face, with that person. In other words, I could say something like, I'm bothered when you are late for meetings. And that is okay to say. And basically, conflict resolution is the last area that's extremely important. Conflict is healthy, but it's not healthy if it can't be resolved. And the way we resolve it is that we want to be soft on the person and tough on the issue, because it's about the issues and not the people on our team. We want to respect the people on our team and get the best from them in their productivity, their thoughts, their ideas. So that's it for today. We're looking forward to the next several weeks, and we will talk to you soon. Take care. God bless.